If you'd open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, we're going to continue our study through this book. It's entitled today, Who Is This? And I love this passage of Scripture. It's an incredible passage. It has so much importance in the scheme of things as Jesus was laying out who He was to the people there in Israel, and specifically to His disciples, so they'd know who they were following as well. And so we're going to pick up in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And last week we talked about the parable of the seeds, where they fell, then the mustard seeds last week, and then today we're going to look at verse 35 through the end of the chapter. That day, when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, and it was completely calm. And He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? You still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him." Father, I come to You, and Lord, thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that what You have to say to us is always exactly what we need to hear. Lord, I just can't even imagine what these disciples must have felt. They were afraid for their lives. They thought it was over. But their lives were really, truly just beginning. And You were going to do something that to the world is such a shocking thing, but for You it's nothing, because You're the one who created the waves. You created everything. Lord, nothing's too difficult for You. And so, Father, I pray that as we get into this passage today, that You'll speak to our hearts, speak to my heart, Lord. Help us to hear from You. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your outline in front of you, I just want to start out with a little paragraph at the beginning. There's a sense in which we are all involved in a journey today. We are sailing toward an unseen port called heaven. And as we sail, storms will arise and toss our vessel. Do you believe that? How many of y'all had a storm this week? Or a couple or three of them? But like the disciples, we often think the storms are going to destroy us. I want you to know that your storms were not sent to destroy you, but to develop you. See, it's in the midst of every struggle and trial that we go through, it's in the midst of every storm that we face, that God is doing His work in us. He doesn't just do things randomly. He doesn't just say, "Oh, let me throw a storm in your, you know, and see how that works." He knows exactly what He's doing every time He does it. And to just be honest with you, there are times that I don't want to go through storms. You know, I'm thinking, "God, isn't that enough? Haven't I learned enough?" And then He says, "You haven't learned anything yet." Because it's in the midst of those storms that these disciples didn't know what to do. The only thing they knew to do was to talk to Jesus. That's always the best answer, by the way. No matter what you're facing, no matter what the struggles are, you can always talk to Jesus. And so I want you to see, first of all, the power of this storm. Verse 37 says it this way, "The squall came up, furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped." This wasn't just, kind of a strong wind. This was a horrible storm that came up. The suddenness of the storm. Storms like this were very common on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is an unusual body of water. It's relatively small, 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. But it's 150 feet deep. And the shoreline is 680 feet below sea level. And because the Sea of Galilee is below sea level and it's surrounded by mountains, it is susceptible to sudden storms. Winds sweeping across the land come up and over the mountains, creating downdrafts over the lake. combined with a thunderstorm that appears suddenly over a surrounding mountain. The water stirs into violent 20-foot waves. The sea can be calm 1 minute and violent the next. These storms usually do not happen at night, so these men did not set out in a storm. They did not expect one either, but a storm came anyway. I tell you what, folks, I guess more often than not now, I'm starting to expect the storms to come. Sometimes we're broadsided. We don't even know how it even happened or what did we do or what. The storms just come. But you know, the longer we live, the more we should understand that there are going to be storms in this life. There are going to be struggles and trials. There are going to be things that we haven't faced, and we don't even know exactly how long they're going to last, or if we're even going to make it through them. Now, there are some hints here for the disciples, had they been listening to Jesus, they were going to look at, but they were afraid for their life. In fact, what's interesting is that some of these disciples were accustomed to being out on the lake, especially at night. That's when the fishing actually went on the Sea of Galilee. They were able to get more fish during the evening and the night than they were during the day. In the day, it would get hot, and the fish wouldn't be forming together in schools. They'd just be laying low, and it was very difficult to catch many fish during the day, but at night they would go out. The severity of this storm is interesting. Most of these disciples were accustomed to fishing at night, so they knew that these kinds of storms appeared rapidly and were very dangerous. But to add to the danger, they couldn't see because it was completely dark, and they had no real light to navigate with. Now think about it. You're out on the Sea of Galilee, and it's dark. They don't have flashlights. What are those big lights that they put on the front of the searchlights, you know, they put on the front of a boat or whatever so they can see where they're headed? They didn't have any of that. They didn't even have lighters in their pocket. They didn't have anything to make light with. In fact, usually when they went out at night, they were hoping for a good moon to be shining so they could at least see the shoreline and know where they were. But, I mean, they were out there and they were in complete darkness. They knew the storms like this could be fatal, and they feared for their lives. These storms typically came up during the day when the heat would heat up the clouds, and they would come in quickly, and these storms would come quickly. And another reason that they usually fished at night, because these storms typically didn't come at night, but this one did. Do you find it interesting in your own life that when you're not expecting the storm is when it usually comes? I mean, if we knew ahead of time that something was coming, we could get prepared for it, right? I remember as a young boy on the farm, we would have tornadoes that would come through, and we weren't ready for them typically. And then as I got older, they came up with this warning system that they would start blowing a siren in town, and we could actually hear it from town. We lived 5 miles out of town, but we could still hear the siren. But it meant that they had spotted clouds that could become tornado, and so we would always head down into the cellar to be ready for that, the storm cellar. But these guys weren't ready for a storm like this at night. What was the source of this storm? Well, these types of storms usually happen during the day because of the sun heating the atmosphere. The fact that it came at night was highly irregular. This would not be the first time the Lord used nature to make a point, nor will it be the last. You see, God is in control of all things, and He can do anything He wants to do whenever He wants to do it. All through Scripture, we see things that are out of the ordinary. I mean, one day when the sun stopped shining completely. You remember that? There are times in Scripture where God did amazing things in the midst of a day or in the midst of a night that just threw everybody off of kelter, and they didn't know what was going on. But sometimes the storms of our lives are brought on by our own disobedience or our own sinful choices. And it isn't because God's just wanting to do something in our lives to punish us or whatever, He allows sometimes the things that we've done to bring forth the fruit that we've planted. If we've planted good fruit, good fruit's going to come from it. Good seed, good fruit's going to come from that. If we've planted bad seed, bad fruit's going to come from it. Sometimes they are allowed to cause us to rely completely on Jesus. Okay, so here's the picture. These disciples are in this boat, and the storm comes up quickly. And all of a sudden, they don't know what they're going to do. The waves start crashing over the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but if the water's coming in over the top of the boat, I start thinking, water in the boat. Boats don't stay up when they're filled with water. They sink. And I could just imagine how frightened these disciples must have been when this began happening. And they don't know what to do. Even though many of them had been seasoned sailors, they don't know what to do. They don't know which way to head because it's dark. They can't navigate by the stars. They can't navigate by the moon. They can't see any lights around them. They don't know what to do. And so they're struggling. I think sometimes we get into those kinds of storms in our lives. We just don't know exactly what to do. What's the first thing we ought to do when we face a storm? Inquire of the Lord, exactly. And that's exactly what they did, by the way. Although they didn't at this point believe or yet understand who they were speaking to when they tried to wake Jesus up. Now Jesus, on the other side of this, He's just asleep. He's taking it easy. And you might think, how could He be asleep in the middle of a storm like this? How could He, you know, and that's exactly what the disciples are thinking. How could you just lay there and sleep in the middle of this? Don't you care about us? Aren't you worried that we're going to go down? Well, stop and think about it for just a minute. What did Jesus say at the very beginning of this? He says, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. See, He had talked about the destination. He said, let us go over to the other side. He didn't say, let us go halfway, capsize, and drown. Did He? Would He have said that if that's what was going to happen? Yes. But that's not what He said. We're going to go over to the other side. See, Jesus always speaks the truth because He is the way and the truth and the life. Now the disciples saw the storm as a hindrance of crossing the sea, but Jesus knew that crossing the sea would be no hindrance at all. Why? Because He knows who's holding the boat in His hand. In fact, that's why Jesus could be asleep. He was cradled in the arms of God. God's taking care of him. He's going to take him to the other side. There wasn't going to be an issue. But because of our lack of faith, sometimes we go, Lord, don't you care? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you understand the situation and what's coming against me? Don't you care? Basically, that's what the disciples were saying to Jesus. Look at this. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, it's interesting that how this is written, though, by the way. It doesn't say, teacher, don't you care that you're going to drown? They said, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care? Let me ask you a question that we all need to be able to answer. Does Jesus care about you? Is He ever going to leave you or forsake you? Is He ever going to say to you, you brought all this on yourself, I'm going to turn my back on you and not care about you anymore. No, He's never going to do that. They had their doubts, the disciples. They couldn't see past the storm to see the one who had created it. You see, God created that storm. Why did He do that? Why did He put them in such perilous situation? They're out on the middle of a dark place like that. Why did He do that? Why does God allow other things to come into our life like that? In fact, What did James say about that? He says, consider it joy when you go through these trials, because we know that God is working in us. He's doing something in us. The disciples didn't understand that yet. They didn't know this yet. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't see past that storm. In fact, they thought Jesus must not really care about them at all because he's asleep. Now here's the question that really kind of, in my mind, bugs me, because how could you ask Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? If there's anybody that has ever cared, it's Jesus. Think about this question. Jesus cares for you more than anyone could ever care for you. And yet all Jesus had been doing was meeting the needs of people. That's what he'd been doing all the whole day before, the day before that, the day before that, the day before that. Jesus had been meeting people's needs. How could they ask him, don't you care? Well, I think one thing is because they were motivated by something called fear. And they didn't yet really understand and realize who they were with. Now you might think that, well, they understood that Jesus was the Messiah. They should have understood that at this point. I mean, he had already been proclaimed the Messiah by John the Baptist. He had already been proclaimed that by the vision of God coming down and landing on him as a dove by the Holy Spirit. They should have known this, but knowing it up here and knowing it in here is different, isn't it? There's a lot of people that know that there's a God up here, but they don't know God. They know about God. In fact, Scripture says that even the demons know about him, but they're not going to be saved. That's all Jesus had been doing, was meeting the needs of people. If he could heal leprosy, make the blind to see, cast out demons, he could certainly calm a storm. And it's not difficult for him, because that's who he is. So this storm caused a problem, but it wasn't a problem for Jesus. It was a problem for the disciples. It was a problem, it was a storm that caused them to truly call upon Jesus in a way that they had never done so before. But they asked that question, don't you care? I think that brings us to what the real purpose of this storm was all about. Look at verse 39. So Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind calmed, the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now, in the Greek, what it literally means is, when he said, quiet, be still, it went from a raging storm to immediately. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, the winds blew for about 10 more minutes, but they got easier and calmer and everything, and finally the storm had passed through. When he said, quiet, be still, that's what happened. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're in this boat that's being tossed around, and all of a sudden he says, quiet, be still, and it's boom. And they're going like, wow. I mean, what would you think? Quiet, be still, and then the wind calmed down, and it was completely calm. And immediately Jesus turns and looks at his disciples, and he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Why are you so worried? Why are you so fretful? When you face storms in your life, why do you get all worked up? Why do I get all worked up? Why do I think, oh man, I don't know how we're going to make it through this one. You know what? God will never take you into something that he's not able to take you through it. But will you trust him? Will you rely on him? See, it's in the storm that they discovered finally His real power. What they had not yet recognized was the voice of God. You see, they were following the teacher, the rabbi. But they had not yet understood that when Jesus was speaking, in every situation He had just been speaking to a huge crowd on the shore, well, sitting in that boat, speaking to them. He had just been healing people. He had been doing all these other things. He had been sharing these parables. And they, what they thought they were hearing were the words of the rabbi, the teacher. And they didn't really recognize that what they were hearing is the Word of God. Literally, the voice of God. By the way, it's the exact same voice who thousands of years before had said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Same voice. Same person. God made everything that is out of nothing that was. Put that on your brain for a minute and let it soak in. He made everything that there is out of nothing that was. And how did He do that? He spoke. "Let there be light." And let there be a firmament. And let there be stars and the moon. Let there be all these things. And as He spoke these things, they came into being. So it's no big deal for God to say, "Quiet, be still." I think it has everything to do with our perspective. How do you see God? How do you see Jesus in your life? Is He someone you run to when you're in trouble and beg for Him to somehow help you through this? Or do you see Him as who He is? He is Lord God Almighty. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He's completely perfect in every way. And He knows everything about us. In fact, He knit us together in our mother's womb. Jeremiah 32, verse 27 says, "I am the Lord God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for Me?" Is anything too hard for the Lord? Not a thing. Why? Because He made it all. He's in complete control always. And it was on this boat on that night in the midst of a storm that the disciples finally saw Jesus as who He is. They discovered His power. They discovered His pronouncement. You see, when Jesus speaks, it happens. Every time in Scripture, when Jesus speaks, something happens. You know why? Because He's the voice of God. And when He speaks, things happen. All creation submits itself to His voice. No sparrow dies, no spider spins, no hair falls from your head without His knowledge. Everything that happens, He knows about. Everything. Some people think they can do things in the dark and not be seen by God. Guess what? Everything. God knows everything. He even knows the intent of our heart, the Scripture says. He knows everything about us. He made us. So when Jesus said to the wind, "Be still," the disciples heard that. And they were amazed. But what they also found out is not only that He was powerful and that His voice commands the winds and the waves, they also discovered that He was present. He was right there with them in the midst of the storm. He didn't come running out to them on the lake. He could have done that. In fact, you'll see in another storm that they face later on that He does that. He comes out just walking out on the water. But He was right there with them in the middle of the storm. Do you know this? He will be right there with you in every storm of your life. As you face it, He will never leave you or forsake you. He is right there with you. They also discovered his purpose. You see, they learned that they could trust him in the middle of the sea in the worst of storms. You see, it's in the storms of life when Jesus comes through for you. When he comes in and he shows you what he wants to show you in the midst of that struggle, in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that storm, we begin to understand that we can trust him. They learned that it's in the storms of life that he shows up in the most powerful ways. See, sometimes God allows us to go through these trials and storms so that he can show up in power and do something amazing. Something that we weren't even expecting. I mean, I can just imagine 20 seconds before they woke Jesus up, they were thinking, we're going to die. And 30 seconds later, they're looking at a sea that was completely calm. Completely calm. You know anything about boating? I know that Wayne likes to go boating. And, I mean, he likes to ride on top of the waves and everything. But the waves stay, they stay in motion, don't they? You don't make a wave and then it all of a sudden it's just gone. It has a ripple effect and it just continues. And if you're out on the shore, you finally see those waves coming in and hitting the shoreline. That's not what happened here. What happened here was all these waves immediately stopped. And you might say, how's that possible? It's only possible with God. In fact, the Scripture tells us all things are possible with him. Did you know that even on that very night, Jesus knew that we'd be talking about it this very day? Have you thought about that? He knew that today, whatever today's date is, I forget what it is, I don't even know. What month is this? I don't even know. But he knew on that very day when he did this, that we'd be talking about it right here in this building. As some people would say, it just blows me away. But the reason is because he's God. He knows all things. And because of that, I know he hopes that this encourages you and me to trust in the one who holds all things in his hands. All things. There's never going to be anything happen that he doesn't already know about, that he's not already checked off, that he doesn't know, that, you know. He knows all these things. He set everything into motion for a purpose and a reason in our lives. And some people can say, God, how could you let this happen to me? God doesn't let things happen to you. He causes things because he's in control. And so it's in the midst of the struggles, it's in the midst of the storms and the trials of our lives that we need to look to the one who's allowing these things to happen because he knows that he wants to do something more amazing in our lives than it could ever happen without his touch on us. God is always at work. He's always doing what his cause is for. He always knows what's going to happen. And listen, folks, if he can speak to the winds and calm the sea, he can empower us to do his will in this world. Now, you might think, well, Pastor, I've got somebody in my life that I just don't see how in the world they could ever come to know Jesus. They are opposed to him. They don't want me talking to him about him. They don't want to hear anything about God. They don't want to listen to the Bible. They're completely cut off towards the things of God. And you know what? They have that choice. But they're never too far away to be touched by God. Because he loves them. And it might be in one of the storms of their lives where he comes in and says, peace, be still. And he allows them to understand that he has power far beyond anything they have. One of the
evangelists that I used to love to read stuff about, and I still do, D.L. Moody, talked about this very instance. And he said, on a dark, stormy night when the waves rolled like mountains and not a star was to be seen, a boat was rocking and plunging near the harbor. And he's talking about one that was happening. It's similar to this outside of Cleveland. And they were trying to get into the Cleveland harbor, and they said, "Are you sure this is Cleveland?" The captain said, seeing only one light from a lighthouse. "Quite sure," replied the pilot. "Well, where are the lower lights?" "They're gone out, sir." "Can you make the harbor?" "We must, or we perish, sir." And with a strong hand and a brave heart, the old pilot turned the wheel, but alas, in the darkness, he missed the channel. And with a crash upon the rocks, the boat was shattered, and many a life were lost in a watery grave. And D.L. Moody says, "Brethren, the Master will take care of the great lighthouse. Let us keep the lower lights burning." And I remember growing up, there was a hymn that Tennessee Ernie Ford used to sing. My granddad listened to him all the time. And the song was, "Let the lower lights be burning." And listen to the words of this hymn. "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But He gives the keeping to us of the lights along the shore. Let those lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. For to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let those lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Eager eyes are watching and longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness, may be lost. Let us let the lower lights be burning. Let us send a gleam across the wave. Trying now to make the harbor, some poor sailor may be lost." Folks, we are serving the God of all the universe who holds everything in His hands. And there is nothing too difficult for Him. And even when we face the storms of our lives, we can know who's holding that boat in His hand, in His mighty hand. Jesus was asleep. Why was He asleep? Because He knew who was rocking His boat. God's in control. When we face trials and struggles, we need to remember who's holding us in His hands. We can get all upset and worried and, you know, in anguish, and we can, you know, call out to God, "Why don't you listen? Why don't you care?" Now, what's fascinating is the very end of this. What did the disciples say to each other? "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey Him?" You see, up until this point, they've been following the teacher. But it was at this point where they finally realized who He was. He's not just a teacher, He's Lord. "Who is this that the winds and the waves obey Him?" He's Lord. You'll also notice in Scripture, from this point on, the disciples saw Jesus in a different light. They began to see Him as who He was. There's a lot of people that hear the name of Jesus. They even use the name of Jesus. But they don't know Jesus. They may even believe that He was real, that He lived and walked this earth, and that He died on a cross. And some of them may even believe that He rose from the dead, which He did.
but they don't know Him. They know about Him. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? That's what really matters. That night, these disciples realized and understood who Jesus was. Who is this? And even the winds and the waves obey. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we all face storms in our lives. We've all had situations we don't know how we're going to get through. We might be even facing some right now. But I know one thing that's always true, and it's that You care for us. And You're right there with us in the midst of this storm. And You'll never leave us or forsake us. You'll never go, oh, just go through this on your own. No, You're right there. And we can call upon You. Some of the storms right now that people are facing are the storms of this world that have been brought on by themselves and by the people of this world and by the situations in this world. And sometimes they seem absolutely devastating. But I know this. You're in control. You have all things in Your control. And so, Lord, I know that You can come and You can calm the storm and You can help us through it if we'll just call upon You. The very first storm that's the most deadly storm is this. For some to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's the way and the truth and the life, and yet not serve and follow Him and give their life to Him. And because of that, the storm will never cease for them. It will only get worse. Father, I pray for those who have not yet trusted You. I pray for those in this community who need to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they need to trust Him with their heart and their soul and their minds and their spirit. I pray, Father, that You'll speak to them. Father, maybe someone's listening today. Maybe someone's right here today. And they realize their only hope is You. Father, I pray that they will cast their cares upon You because You care for them. I pray, Father, that they will come to You and admit their sin before You and ask You to forgive them, Lord, because You will. You paid for their sins already on the cross. Lord, I pray for us as Christians who face things all the time to be reminded that no matter how bad it seems, You're right here with us. And You have all power when we have none. And Lord, You can take care of any situation. So help us to call upon You because You care for us. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that the disciples changed at this point from just following Jesus to realizing who they were following. That He is Lord. And He is Lord. And someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.